and I went through this one Thursday, so I mentioned that I'm going to develop a message on verse 23, and so here it is. Got 5 points, but then the fifth point has several sub-points. Luke 7, verse 19, John the Baptist is in jail, okay, and he's getting bored, and he's wondering, okay, is this what the program's going on? Verse 19, and John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist. I think there's one or two times where the word the is not in there. So John Baptist, like first and last name. John Methodist, or John Catholic. Okay, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Okay, that statement right there. Blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. The idea is that there's a blessing John can get if he don't get offended with God working in his life here. That's the statement. That's what we're going to work on. And it says, when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with wind? No, John wasn't shaken by wind of doctrine. But what went we out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, it says, justified God. What does that mean? They admitted God was right. Justified God. Okay, that's the idea there. He is proved to be right. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. That was the method in that time period. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this, and there's going to be some many things in each of our lives, sometime or another, that we're not going to get our way. And we're going to ask you to change our circumstances, and in some cases, you're not going to do it. And I pray you'd help us not to be offended by your behavior or lack thereof, and not fitting our program into your program. And Lord, I pray you'd help us recognize this idea that sadly most people are offended by God. Help us recognize when that offense can occur, and help us to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this Luke chapter 7, in some of you that don't attend the 4 o'clock or the Thursday night services, that's when I go verse by verse. And I recognize, man, you're working all day Thursday, you're working all day, and you're tired, you don't feel like coming to church and all that stuff. And I understand that, and I don't fault people for those things, but the way you really learn the Bible is verse by verse. That's where you really learn it. And so that's what I do on Thursday afternoon and on Thursday evening and on Sunday afternoon. I'm not into the entertainment program. I'm not following the typical church nowadays where they're entertaining people. I just refuse to do that. If I want to do that, I'll put a red nose on, color my hair, and go to the circus. Okay? I just want to exalt this book. And so the way you really learn is verse by verse, and if you don't understand, it's Thursday night or Sunday night's not topical like Sunday morning. Sunday morning is the only topical where the Lord gives me the subject. matter. This one is about being offended by God. Now, surprisingly, that's the bottom line in all of our lives, saved and unsaved alike. There's a famous atheist in our country named Richard Dawkins. The guy has made millions of dollars off of God. He wrote a book, The God Delusion. He talks more about God than Christians do. And one time a person talked to an atheist. They were dealing with this atheist, not Richard Dawkins, but they were dealing with this atheist and said, "Man, you talk more about God than Christians do, and here you don't believe in God. Why don't you leave God alone?" And he said, "Because he won't leave me alone." And that's true. According to Romans chapter 1, God has revealed himself to every single person. Now, you and I are to witness when the Lord leads us to witness to people. But you know, there's a God in heaven that is witnessing to every single person every day until that person rejects what God says, and then God leaves them alone. Okay? And so he is doing that. We are to do our part, but God is doing his part because he loves them more than we do. Okay? So this idea. People don't want, they get mad at God, and this is often the thing when you're dealing with people. Have you ever talked to somebody, maybe first time you met them, and you mentioned God, and immediately, boom, they got mad? Why? It's because someone in the past offended them that was associated with church or God or the Bible. It could have been Catholic, could whatever. They were offended, and so they have dumped anything that reminds them of that hurt, that resentment, and you and I have nothing to do with it. They've been offended. When that offense turns into bitterness, that is actually meaning they are offended because God allowed it to happen. And what the media and the government is trying to do to you and I, because there's an agenda, a worldwide agenda, the media and the government both are pushing this idea, don't offend somebody. Now, what they mean is they don't want you and I to open up our mouth to offend somebody. That's who they want to shut up. The Muslims, it don't matter. They can offend a Christian all they want. The atheists, it doesn't matter. They can offend us all they want. Our offense doesn't matter. And so now the church today has gotten to a point where they have put love thy neighbor above love thy God. And they don't talk. They don't speak up. They're afraid about offending people, so they have shut their mouth. The church is silent, hence evil triumphs quicker. Okay? And so we have to look at the word offend in the Bible. The word offend, like a lot of English words, has multiple meanings. One meaning is an offendor is an illegal act. Okay? Like in court situation. The butler and the baker offended Pharaoh, and he put him in jail. He put him in a cage because they offended him. I have no idea what they did, but this guy was so hypersensitive, they stuck somebody in a cage because they offended him. Okay, that's an illegal act. Isaiah 29, verse 21, Isaiah warned Israel. He said, when a nation's falling apart, you can be an offender, illegal act, for a word. We're there. If you say the wrong word to the wrong person, you could be in bad litigation. Okay, that's where our country's heading. Okay, and if we keep going down this path, it is definitely going to get worse, and you have to know what to do about these things. So that's an illegal act. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 to 18, talks about every individual has offended our God, an illegal act committed against our God. Because of Adam, by his disobedience, this offense has been passed on to everybody. And one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, then we can get the free gift and overcome the offense. That's Romans 5. That's where the word offense is used as an illegal act. Another, probably the most popular use of the word offense is you offended me, okay, meaning you hurt me. You hurt me emotionally, you hurt me by your words, hence I have a resentment towards you. That's the most common use of the word offend. The third word for offense is like in military and in sports, where a military offense, or in sports you have the football offense. They are the one that's actually progressing or trying to attack the other team, okay, or the other army. That is another word of the word offense found in the Bible. Now the word offend, what we're going to look at this morning more than anything is resentment or hurt that people carry. Now the Bible does admonish you and I that we are to be careful about our actions not to offend somebody. Okay, there are certain situations. It's not that you have to be on pins and needles everywhere you go. It's when the Lord leads you. Example. Maybe if you're sucking on a sucker and you're driving down a road and it's got a white thing sticking out and the Spirit of God says, you know, somebody might think that's a cigarette and you're going to be passing so-and-so big mouth down there. And so just whip it out for a second. You know, now there's no sin in, you know, having a well, maybe there's sugar, a lot of sugar in suckers, but you know, you are what you eat. Okay, but you know, maybe the Lord will lead you. An example of this is Matthew 17. Remember when Peter came to Jesus and somebody threw out the idea, does your master pay tribute? And so he just, well, yeah, he pays tribute. And then he went to Jesus and Jesus Christ adjusted his belief system. He said, hey, I'm not a Roman subject. It's really not required for me to do that. But since you stuck your foot in your mouth, let's take your foot out and then go fishing. Now, when you go fishing, there's going to be a coin in a mouth. Take the coin, go pay the tribute, just so that we don't offend these people. There are two chapters in the Bible that guides us in that area. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8. It's about preferences in life. 1 Corinthians 8 is about eating things offered unto idols. An idol is a pagan thing. It's nothing. It means nothing. But if I'm going to try to witness to a Catholic, I don't want to purposely bop him in the nose about his faith. If I'm going to take him out to eat on a Friday, and he's a Catholic that believes the fish thing, okay, I'm going to eat fish with him. It wouldn't be a sin for me to have a nice steak, you know, maybe ham that would be, but not a steak. Now, I could do this thing. I could ask the waitress, do you have whale? No, I don't have whale. Do you have a shark? No, I don't have a shark. Well, I tried fish. Give me a steak anyway. Okay, you could go that route, but in conduct, there are some things that we have liberty to do that the Lord may guide you around certain people. Don't do that, because that would be an offense. If somebody doesn't know the traffic regulations and are riding with me, and they think going 71 is an offense, okay, I'll stick to 70 as best I can. If they're peeking out the window, I might pick them up to 80. Okay, but if that's a big deal to them, if it's really offensive to them, then I'm going to do the best I can. Okay, but, you know, understanding the legality of it and everything. So on those things, yes, we should not try to be offensive to people. And we can speak the truth and love to people, recognizing that, yes, the Bible is an offensive book. And so with those things in mind, I want to give you some thoughts this morning about the offenses of life, because that is just life. The first thing is this: truth in itself is offensive. Just truth is offensive. Okay, now the common saying is, truth hurts. Okay, that's the common saying. Truth hurts. But truth, like surgery. Surgery hurts with the intent to help. Truth hurts with the intent to help in the long run. It's like reconstruction or remodeling. If you're remodeling or doing something, you have to make a mess, you have to tear things up before you can construct something. Your destruction at first is with the intent to improve. The same goes with sports. If, you know, going to practice, you know, practice is boring, it's a drag and all that stuff. I had a basketball coach my junior year that was just like Bobby Knight. I mean, he was the spitting image. You know, I mean, he coached like him, he cussed like him. I mean, all we did was defense, defense, defense. I mean, 80% of practice was defense. That was drilled into us, and nobody really liked it. Okay, but that was drilled into us. Why did he do that? To perfect our sport. You see, and so truth originally does hurt. It is offensive, but it has an intent to help. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, it talks about the offense of the cross. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is offensive. Down at Purdue one time, I'm holding a great big banner, Jesus hanging on a cross. Now, it's really tamed down. The banner is tamed down. Come on, I mean, blood coming from here. I mean, you can recognize there's a human. And a guy with his five-year-old daughter came up to me and said, that is an offensive sign. That is the most violent thing my daughter has seen today. Saturday afternoon, I said to him, I just laughed, I said, what did she do, miss her cartoons this morning? I mean, you talk about cartoons are more offensive than that. But, you know, of course, he was trying to stop me. And I just basically, run along, child. Go play in the street. Okay, or something like that. But you see, what is that doing? They're trying to shut us up. It's what they're trying to do. A Catholic girl came out of the bar to me one time and said, I'm a Christian. Okay, you are. Good, wonderful. And your sign, I'm drinking in there with my buddies, and your sign, it just doesn't make me enjoy my time. Could you move down the street? I said, no, I like it right here. No, I'm not going to move down the street. And we had a conversation for a little while, and it was an enjoyable conversation. But what was it? That cross is offensive. I understand that. I recognize that. The Bible's an offensive book. If we keep going down this road, this book will be hate literature. It's an offensive book. I doubt anybody has take Exodus 22:18, suffer not to let a witch live, put that on a beautiful plaque and send that to Hillary Clinton. I doubt anybody knows that. That's going to be offensive. I mean, how about Luke 11:52? Wonderful, beautiful passage. Woe unto you lawyers, for you take away a key of knowledge. Put on a beautiful plaque, put a nice border and send it to every attorney in town. I mean, they're going to be happy. The Bible is an offensive book. You know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is called a rock of offense. Now, the Lord Jesus did not walk around purposely offending people, but his mere presence offended the Pharisees. It drove him nuts. Sitting down eating a meal with the Pharisees one time, and one of them said to Jesus, your disciples didn't wash their hands. And he, in essence, basically said, and you didn't wash your heart. And then when they leave, the apostles said, don't you know you offended them? And then he said, let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. Different viewpoint. The God of this Bible is a lot different than people think. And it's a lot different than what Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and all that crowd is trying to depict him. He is very different than people think. Okay, so the first thought is truth is offensive. Second thought is truth, when understood and accepted, is a joyous occasion. Even though it first hurt, but it's intended to help. And when it's understood and accepted, it's a joyous occasion. Back in the early 1900s, the last great national evangelist we had in our country was Billy Sunday. Okay, Billy Sunday was the last true man to the Word of God, a national evangelist that had revivals going on. Billy Graham tried to pick up the banner, but he dropped it. Now, Billy Sunday was told on many occasions by the religious leaders and some folks, he said, man, your preaching rubs the fur the wrong way on the cat. And he just said, well, turn the cat around. Okay, if you're rubbing the fur the wrong way on a cat and you turn it 180, it will purr. You keep going the same direction. And that's the same with us. Things in the Bible that offend us, that bother us, if we do a 180 and understand it, accept it, it will make us as happy as could be. The same ideas. Why? We turned around. We made the effort. So truth, when understood and accepted, is a joyous occasion. The third thought, anybody should live your life trying not to offend God. That's how you should live your life. We are told you're supposed to live so you don't offend your brother or your neighbor or whatnot. Okay, if there's some act or a belief that you have in your life that does not offend God and it offends your brother, c'est la vie. Sorry, I don't want to offend my God. When Paul mentioned that in Acts 24:16, he said, I have lived my life void of offense toward God. A Pharisee told his bodyguard, smack him in the mouth, and he pelted him. Why? It's because that Pharisee is living a life that's an offense to God. And so it says in Philippians 1 verse 10, Paul told the people in Philippi, those believers, about this. Live your life. How should we live it? that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That without offense is not offending your God. That's where we should be. Every one of us. You should live your life trying not to offend God. The fourth thought, and we're buzzing through these, but that fifth one, it's a doozy. Okay, the fourth thought is this. The offenses of life are a normal affair. You're not going to live your life without offending somebody. You're just not going to do it. Living with people, that when you cram people together, they will fight. That's a natural thing. If you see hogs in a confinement farm, they'll cut the tails off. When the hog's small, they'll cut the tail off. Why? Because when you cram them together, they will bite each other's tail off. So they clip it off. And when you take man and you force man together, they are going to fight. This is why crime is so high in the cities. You get them out in the country, you know, if you got a gun, you shoot, you got a great distance, you're not likely going to hit them as well. And so when you get in the city, you're right up there, and of course you point your gun this way in the city, you know, and half of them die because their pants fell down and they're trying to run to get away. And so that's their problem. Okay, so, but you live your life, everybody's offended. Okay, it's just a normal thing in life. Now, people carry these offenses. Okay, if you go out, knock on a door, and people, hi, happy, you see a little plaque, everybody's welcome here. And as soon as you mention church or God, wham! Why? They are carrying a deep wound. Somebody in church somewhere wounded them. Deeply. Maybe a church split. I've known people that have gone through church splits and will never darken a church door again. Like they're all the same. Okay, but what is it? They have a hurt. Proverbs 18, verse 19, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, for their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Probably the most difficult people you have ever have to try to talk to about God are pastors that quit and won't do anything for God. You ever talk to somebody like that? They are hard. Why? Is they are offended and their offense has come bitterness toward God. Bitterness is when a person takes an offense and transfers that to God. How dare you let that happen to me? How dare you? You can point your finger to God and do that. But that's basically the bottom line there. Some people will refuse to attend any church or talk with God or about God because of their upbringing, because they didn't like the church. My parents made me go to church. Well, they made you take a bath, too. Did you stop taking baths? Well, I guess you have. I could smell you. Okay, but there are a lot of things our parents made us do something that we continue to do. But why is it when you get to God and the Bible, that's something I choose not to do? I mean, to me, it's the craziest thing. But sometimes we got parents that the bus kids down there. What, you know what one of their punishments for their kids is? They ground them. They don't let them come to church. Brilliant. Just brilliant. You know, they take away something good from there. Now, you can watch Pokemon, but you can't go to church. Why? Because a kid likes to go. They, I guess, feel the love. They enjoy the love, and they want to go. And the parents say, I'm going to hold that over you. You know, just brilliant. Okay, but still the idea, offenses. So, now the Lord said, when the apostles asked the Lord about the sign of his coming, one of the signs of his coming, in Matthew 24, it says, many will be offended. And that's the age we're living in. Many will be offended. Why? If you go to the end, if you attend the average church, the messes that go on in church is phenomenal. Preachers are tyrants or insecure, and they're going to get their way about this and that, and they don't give people liberty to believe as they wish. They expect everybody to agree with them about everything. And then some mess takes place, and this person gets offended, and they're not going to go to any church ever again. They've been hurt. They've been offended. And actually what they're going to do is they're going to take this resentment, and they're going to blame God. You know the big argument? We almost always hear it on the street with the young people. The sufferings of the world, who's at fault? They blame God. And you know what? The suffering that you and I will experience sometime in life, the temptation will be to blame God. That is a temptation. Why? Because He's the one that's working in our life. And so I'm going to give you some examples. This is point number 5, and this is one, all the subpoints. Okay? You and I can forfeit a blessing when we get offended by God. This is what he was implying about John the Baptist. Blessed is he, whosoever is not offended in me. John, don't be offended. You're sitting in a pokey. You're sitting in there for my I got you there for a reason. You're going to lose a new diet program. Your head's coming off in a little while. Okay? And so you're out of here. But before you get out of here, you're going to be bored. I know it's boring in jail. I know it's a drag. And I know you are a busy man. You are on out. But here you are. And this is my program for you. Don't get offended by it. And then he turned around and bragged about John to everybody else. And so here are ways that God can offend you and I and offend people. People are offended by God. The first way is persecution. If you would, look in John chapter 16. If our country keeps going down the road that it's going, and if the coppers keep behaving the way they are, you could get yourself in an unfortunate situation at the wrong time and die for your faith. Or get persecuted. Literal persecution. Now, I recognize that literal outward persecution is not quite obvious in America, but Christians are suffering these literal persecutions in Saudi Arabia and Iran and North Korea and all these other places already. But in John 16, Jesus said to the apostles, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Don't be offended. What's going to happen? "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, and whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service." He said, don't get offended by that. You say, well, I'm just trying to live a holy life, mind my own business, and serve God. And you're the perfect target. I'm the perfect target. Okay? Janet Reno said it years ago. You know, the target against her is one who believes in the second coming and homeschool and all this stuff. Janet or John Reno or whatever it was. But the idea is persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Okay, again, America is the greatest place to suffer that. Okay, but if we keep going down this road as our country is going, yes, it could happen to us. And we have an opportunity to receive a blessing and not get offended by our God who allows it to take place. Why do we have Obama? We deserve him. Our country deserves him. You see, the churches deserve him. And so that's that one. The second thought is this: unanswered prayer. If there's no change or a slow action of God regarding your circumstances in life, okay? What does this mean? If you analyze your prayer requests, if I analyze my prayer requests, basically our prayer requests are, change my circumstance. I don't feel good, God. I want to feel better. Help me feel better. Change my circumstance. So-and-so is doing this to me. God, please change that. And sometimes and often the Lord will test us and say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's just like any of us parents, you know. We know that sometimes our children aren't ready to do certain things, and so we tell them no. Why? Because I said so. And sometimes the Lord says to us, because I said so. Paul asked the Lord 3 times to remove this thorn in the flesh. And God didn't do it. And then Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. So, as you grow as a Christian, there is going to be some times in your life that there's going to be some bad circumstances you're going through or maybe happen to you or your children. And you can pray to God and pray to God, and you should pray to God, and you should claim all the promises. But there's going to be, on some of those occasions, the Lord's just not going to listen. And He just says, I got something I want you to go through. And we can get offended by God and get mad and get put out with Him and argue with Him. And I'm not saying you're not going to do it, because you are going to do it, because I've done it. You know, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, you know, about Heidi's situation, but here we are still dealing with this thing. And so, unwanted circumstances that God will not change, we have an opportunity to be get a blessing by God by saying, Lord, much as it hurts, I'm going to trust You. And you said, that's where John the Baptist had to get is, okay, I'm going to trust You. Okay, another example, John chapter 6. The more you get in the Bible, you will discover there are some strange things in the Bible. There are some strange doctrines. Depending upon your upbringing, depending on what you were taught, the more you get in the Bible, you will need to adjust some of your beliefs or change some of your beliefs to match the Bible. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ gave a very unusual doctrine. Weird. The Catholic Church has based the entire Eucharist upon verse 53 to 56. They will not read verse 57. John 6, 53 to 56. If you read any Catholic literature, they'll even cite those four verses. They will not cite 57. And they will not cite 63, because that is the explanation. After Jesus implied, you have to eat Me, My flesh and My blood, that was offensive doctrine. That was new. Where'd that come from? And His disciples in verse 60, it said this, many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now evidently they daydreamed when He said verse 57. They were daydreaming, because that's the explanation. And so when they're sitting there thinking, eat His body, eat His flesh, the Lord explained it and they didn't pick up on that, and then wow, this is weird. And then Jesus said in verse 61, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto him, does this offend you? Are you offended by what I said? The answer is yes, they were offended. Verse 66, that's the only 666 in the New Testament, chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Strange doctrine. And the Bible's got some strange doctrines. New doctrines. So what are we going to do with them? Are we going to just immediately reject them? Or are we going to say, boy, I need to think on that? Now see, and he was at this point, Jesus wondered, okay, you disciples, apostles, where are you guys going? Peter said, where we got to go? He said, you're the Christ. He said, man, I don't know what you meant by what you just said, but I'm still sticking with you. There are some strange things in the Bible. I'll give you an example. There's years ago down at Rensselaer Church, when I was just down there, not up here, family came in, large family. Hey, man, when you got a small church, see a large family coming in, man, that's wonderful. And he went to Isles Anderson, so he's a fundamental Baptist. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to be in agreement pretty much of the time, but I was making that transition to the Bible believer. And I was going, and so they started coming to church. They left this church down in Monticello because they got in Lordship Salvation. And I thought, okay, this is wonderful, fine, how that goes. And so, but again, I had learned enough from the fundamental Baptist. You just kind of, okay, let's just kind of see what's going to happen here. They get excited right off the bat, and he got very excited right off the bat. And after one service, I think it was a Wednesday night, he was so excited, he came down, he was looking in the pulpit where all my notes were. And he said, I don't want you to get a big head, but that was good. I said, yeah, the Bible is good, isn't it? And he said, where's your notes? I said, oh, it's right there in the Bible. And it intrigued him. So he was getting incorporated in church real quick, trying to get us to help us with soul winning and all that stuff. So they were coming for about a month, 2 months, to about 3 months. And I started going through verse by verse through Jonah. In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah gets swallowed by the whale. Okay, that's not a problem. But here's where the problem came. It says that Jonah's soul went to hell. That's what it says. You say, what's it mean? I'm assuming that it means that Jonah's soul went to hell. I'm a Bible believer. So, if his soul departed his body, that means he died. I never heard that before. Well, I'm going through that, and I can see this husband and wife where they're... And I've been around long enough, I can see where this is going. They came across a new doctrine. How dare you tell them a new doctrine? I went to Hall's Harrison. And so, here comes the hand to ask the question. And the question was, well, I thought it was just like the Lord's resurrection, thinking it was going to overthrow what I just said, and his illustration confirmed it. And I just played with it. You know, I've been around long enough, I just went with the punch, and the punch came this way. I said, thank you very much. And so I said, I appreciate that analogy, because that analogy works perfectly. Jesus' body was in the sepulcher, and his soul went to hell, just like Jonah's body was in the... I said, beautiful analogy, thank you very much. And it was like... So what happens? Immediately, Sunday school's over with. This wonderful spiritual family goes in the back rooms on their knees praying, oh God, lead us, and walked out the door and never showed up again. Why? They got offended by the Bible. They got offended. Now you say, what do you do with something like that? If you don't want to believe it, don't believe it. I don't care. You don't have to agree with me 100%. And I even said that in a service when I was teaching. I could see where this was going. I said, now this is what it says. You know, if you don't understand it, I don't, you know, if you don't want to believe it, that's fine with me. I don't care. I did the same thing one time with when I was going through Jonah, the flood of Genesis 1, 2 and Genesis 6, two worldwide floods, and I could see that was burning somebody else's clutch plate. And I just said, if you don't want to believe it, I don't care. You know? And so... all of us can be offended by some things in the Bible. So what do we do with it? Just say, Lord, I don't understand. I just believe you. That's what we need to be. So the third idea, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. This is being offended because God is showing someone else amongst your peers some things in the Bible he hasn't showed you. Matthew 13, verse 53. It says this, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught him in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. They were astonished that Jesus Christ was teaching these things, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this a carpenter's son? How does this guy know all this stuff? Don't he just hammer nails? And is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph or Jose or whatever, and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? And whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Okay, this is, here's the basic idea here is, okay? Somebody that got saved in this church or at least came to this church and still started growing in grace, and God started showing them things he didn't show somebody else. And maybe I had him teach some things. And people say, how'd he learn those things? Well, like you usually learn some things, you read it, and then God shows it to you. And people get offended by it. You know, a perfect example in our church, you know, in these times, 16 years, is Brother Lawson. You know, about 3 months ago, he showed me something out of 1 Peter, and, you know, I could have said, shut up, who are you? I'm the teacher, you're the student. But I didn't get offended by that. Man, that excited me. He showed me something. I thought, oh, I gotta research that. I didn't accept it right off the bat. But I said, definitely, I'm going to look at it. And God showed him something, and God in his grace showed it to me through him. Why did he show me? Should show me. And you see, people get offended about those things. Why do they get offended about it? It's because they're thinking about themselves. They want the attention. And that's why Paul got that thorn in the flesh, is because of the multiple revelations that God was giving Paul, he kept him humble by the thorn in the flesh. Somebody always challenging. And I think the thorn in the flesh was not a physical ailment. I think that was a person that was used in his fold that constantly challenged him. Prove it to me, Paul. Prove it to me. I'll prove it to you with a knuckle sandwich. You know? But you see, the thing is any of us can be, God can show any of us some things in the Bible. You don't have to go to some school. He didn't go to PBI. I didn't go to PBI either. But God showed him some things. God shows all of us some things that other people don't get. And if you have an opportunity to show folks, but if you get offended because God didn't show it to you, you're not putting God first. These people are offended because Jesus Christ grew up in that area and probably had some lady say, well, I changed your diaper to a kid. Well, good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You know, but the book still says this. And that's our bottom line. We need to learn from the book. You see, and so people get offended with the Lord sometimes because he showed somebody else something in the Bible, a great revelation, they didn't show them. And I tell you, preachers are the most ones guilty about these things. Are the most horrible ones that get offended by God because somebody in their church asked them a question they couldn't answer it. Now, this is very deep and profound, but if somebody asks you a Bible question, you don't know the answer, you know what you're supposed to do? You say, I don't know. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. And then you can follow up and say, well, give me 7 or 10 days, and maybe the Lord will show me something. And maybe he'll show it to you. And maybe the Lord won't show it to either one of us, because that's his choice. But you see, people get offended, and their offense is actually toward God. And the fifth area is an offense from a family, friend, or foe, a family member. Okay, maybe a child's parents did not treat them as the Bible says, and the child got offended because of that bad behavior. And then they say, God, why did you let that happen? Well, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. It's still in there. And Psalms 27, verse 10, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And so there, yes, there are some times where our own family members may hurt us, and God allowed that to happen. Why? To make us better. Because Jesus Christ's own brothers and sisters didn't believe him. They didn't believe him either. And his own people didn't believe him. And the thing is we can have this offense. When we have this offense toward our God, we're at a crossing point in our lives. We could, with this offense, we could do one of two things. We could say, Lord, I don't understand, but I believe you. Or we could say, God, I'm mad at you, I'm bitter, and I don't want to talk to you again. It's either bitterness or better. That's our two choices in that matter. And so I'm telling you that the longer you live the Christian life, there is going to be some things that we will cross in our lives that God will be the one offending us. Why? It's for our good. It's for our good. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us recognize that these times that are unfortunate times, but part of life, that maybe there's an individual, maybe a spiritual person, maybe a religious person that's offended. Maybe it's a family member that's offended us, and then we've analyzed it and said, God, why did you let that happen? And our offense has been transferred to thee. And Lord, there's some things in the Bible that are very strange. strange doctrines, help us to not get offended with you. Lord, help us to recognize that we are at a crossroads, that we could humbly say, Lord, I don't understand, but I know you're right and I'm wrong. And Lord, I don't like the situation, but I can yield to thee if you give me the grace. You promised Paul that your grace was sufficient, and I would ask for that, and I beg for that, and I boldly plead for that, which you are duty-bound by the Bible to at least give that, the grace. And Lord, help me not to be offended with you, because you said, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Lord, help us to love you more about it. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar's open if you need it. A lot of times when people are offended by other people, in deep rooted, it's really they're offended with God. That's where it's really at. And when they harbor the bitterness, the offense has stepped up to bitterness. Bitterness is actually a person harboring their offense toward God. So we live our lives trying not to be offense toward God, but there's going to be a time that we may get offended by our God. And the thing is to humbly trust Him and humbly believe Him. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Lord, I do thank you for your guidance in our lives. By chance, if someone in here is not saved, help them recognize their need of the Savior. And Lord, the ones who are saved, I pray that you'd help us also recognize that there's going to be some situations in our lives that will not go according to our plans and our wishes. And we can pray and ask you to change the circumstances, and often you don't. And help us to accept your perfect love and wisdom in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.